Reading from the first letter of St. John. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also must love one another. No one has ever seen God. Yet, if we love one another, God remains in us, and his love is brought to perfection in us. This is how we know that we remain in him, and he in us, that he has given us of his Spirit. Moreover, we have seen and testify that the Father sent his Son, the Savior of the world. Whoever acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in him, and he in God. We have come to know and to believe in the love God has for us. God is love, and whoever remains in love remains in God, and God in him. In this is love brought to perfection among us, that we have confidence on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. And so one who fears is not yet perfect in love. Verbum Domini. Lord, every nation on earth will adore you. O God, with your judgment endow the king, and with your justice the king's son. He shall govern your people with justice, and your afflicted ones with judgment. Lord, the kings of Tarshish and the isles shall offer gifts. The kings of Araba and Seba shall bring tribute. For he shall rescue the poor when he cries out, and the afflicted when he has no one to help him. He shall have pity for the lowly and the poor. The lives of the poor he shall save.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Marcum.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
After the 5,000 had eaten and were satisfied, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and precede him to the other side toward Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And when he had taken leave of them, he went off to the mountain to pray. When it was evening, the boat was far out on the sea, and he was alone on shore. Then he saw that they were tossed about while rowing, for the wind was against them. About the fourth watch of the night, he came toward them walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out. They had all seen him and were terrified. But at once he spoke with them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." He got into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely astounded. They had not understood the incident of the loaves. On the contrary, their hearts were hardened.
Verbum Domini.
We welcome this morning Father Dominic, who's coming visiting from the Diocese of Davenport, and then Father David, who is with the Congregation of the Holy Cross. And Father David will be the guest on EWTN this evening with Father Mitch. He'll be speaking about Father Patrick Peyton and a new movie coming out on his life. But St. John reminds us today that by loving others, we are imitating God and his love for us. We know that God's love for us is sacrificial, it's life-giving. We're called to love others in the same way, to be generous, to be merciful and patient, imitating God as closely as we can. St. John also tells us no one has ever seen God, yet if we love one another, God remains in us, and his love is brought to perfection in us. So when we love our neighbor the way Christ loved us, we are manifesting the love of God to the world. We are showing God to the world. It's therefore a way for people to see God by revealing his love that abides in us due to our union with Christ. In addition, we hear that God is love and about how love is brought to completion or perfection in us. First, St. Basil the Great, who we just celebrated a couple days ago, along with St. Gregory, St. Basil notes that if God is love, as John says, then it must be that the devil is hatred. As he who has love has God, so he who has hatred has the devil dwelling in him. And St. John says, in this is love brought to perfection among us, that we have confidence on the day of judgment. Right? That's a fruit of the love of God, to have confidence, not to be full of servile fear. So it's a sign of God's love having been perfected in us if we face the day of our judgment with confidence rather than servile fear. John goes on further, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. So he's referring to that terror or dread that comes if our view of God is as an unmerciful judge who is only too ready to crush and to punish us and to send us to hell. It's good to distinguish here two kinds of fear, servile fear, which I just mentioned, and a filial fear. Servile fear is what is referred to in this passage by John. It's the fear of one who is consumed by a threat of punishment, is filled with anxiety. This type of fear distrusts God's mercy and can lead to despair. The other type of fear is referred to as filial fear. It's a holy reverence that we as children have toward our Heavenly Father. This is the gift of the Holy Spirit that's referred to as fear of the Lord. This is a good thing. It leads us to avoid whatever might displease God and to separate us from him. And its main motivation is love rather than dread fear. So the fear that is driven out by perfect love is servile fear. Rather, perfect love fills us with this confidence, this readiness to meet God and to be with him for all eternity. St. Bede would write that as one grows in faith, his life starts to change. He learns not to be afraid anymore, but to look forward eagerly for the coming of the one who is the desire of the nations, hoping that on the strength of his good life, he'll be crowned among the saints. So a change takes place. I think it's common at times if we undergo a major conversion, there is, of course, this initial burst of zeal, of love, but then there can often as well turn to this phase where we go through scrupulosity and we become filled with fear. Overwhelmingly full of fear. But then he said, as we grow, again, there's a transformation that takes place. We begin to trust in the confidence and the love of God. So again, as I just mentioned, we begin to have a desire for God and not to fear judgment. And I think of the dying words of St. Charles Borromeo. We see that expectation. His dying words were, "Look, Lord, I'm coming." Right? He was ready. He wanted to see the Lord. That's what we want. In our gospel today, the Lord wants to instill courage and confidence in the hearts of the apostles, but it comes through a test. After Christ had miraculously fed the 5,000, he had his disciples get in the boat and head across the sea toward Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowds and then went to the mountain to pray. And in the middle of the night, he began coming toward them, walking on the sea. And St. Mark says that it was the fourth watch of the night, so it was between 3 and 6 a.m. And they were having trouble facing the wind, and they were being tossed about on the sea. Now, it's clear from the Old Testament that walking upon water is a divine act. In Isaiah, we hear, "Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters." And when God confronted Job, when they had their dialogue, God says to Job, "Have you entered the springs of the sea or walked the recesses of the deep?" So when the apostles are confronted with the divine presence of God, they're terrified, and their initial response is that they think it's a ghost. But as we hear, the Lord calms and reassures them, saying, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." So he gives them encouragement by reminding them, "It is I," or as that can also be translated, "I am." "Take courage, I am, do not be afraid." So it's the divine name, right? The same way God revealed himself to Moses and the burning bush. So our Lord gets in the boat with them and the wind died down. So we get from this that he is the source of our peace. He is the one that restores peace to our souls and the church when it's lost, if it's been lost. It's also curious that St. Mark gives the detail that Jesus meant to pass by them. They were struggling and they're rowing on the boat and they're being tossed about. But St. Mark, by alluding to this curious phrase that he meant to pass by them, he may be alluding to something deeper in this phrase, again, going back to the Old Testament, that when certain people encountered God, it's described as God passing by them. So when Moses went up on Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments, we hear this, that the book of Exodus says that the Lord passed before him. And when Elijah met God on Mount Horeb, the first book of Kings describes that Elijah, he was told to stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. St. Mark says the Lord meant to pass by them. On a more practical level, St. Augustine also said there's something deeper. This isn't just, St. Mark didn't just throw this in there that he meant to pass by them for no good reason. St. Augustine would add the insight that by doing this, the Lord was eliciting those outcries in response to which he would then come to bring relief. In other words, by making it appear that he wanted to pass by them, he wanted them to call out to him. He wanted them to cry out to him for help. He wants us to call upon him. So we ask him for the grace today to fill our souls with his peace, to fill our souls with confidence, and to grow in perfect charity, which casts out all inordinate fear in our lives.